The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Everybody good? We did win yesterday, so I don't smile quite normally this big, but I may not smile again this year, so... yes, thank you for bringing that up, Trey, wherever you're at. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James, James chapter 1. And if you haven't been with us in a while, we are in a series on James, and we'll be here for a while. We're going to probably go all the way through February before we change up. So I hope you have enjoyed it so far. If you've missed any of the services, you can go online and get caught up. One of the things that we're doing right now, and if you're not part of a life group and you would like to be a part of the email, we're sending out each week, trying by Wednesday to send out questions, scripture that goes along with what we're studying, to kind of give you a guide to go during the week. So it's been a blessing to me. So hopefully it's been a blessing to you. And if you're not getting those and you would like to get those, if you would let me know, I'll make sure you get that this week. But I want to encourage you to keep reading with us. James is not very long, so you can read it if you're a fast reader, probably in 20 minutes. If you're a slow reader, in 30 minutes. But you can read the whole letter. And so one of our encouragements is that as we've been walking through this over the last several weeks, that you would continue to read and read and read with us. So I want you to do that. If you don't have a Bible, we have them in the back. We'd love to give you one this morning as a gift to you. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to open up with me to chapter 1, verse 18, and we're going to jump right in this morning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Knowing this, my beloved brothers, let everyone be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So it's been interesting so far, because if you've been with us over the last several weeks, what we saw in the beginning of this letter is this call first that James calls us, and he reminds us of who our identity is in. That's how the letter starts. And then he also reminds us that part of this journey that we are on are these challenges, there are these trials that they're going to come in our lives. But what you're going to continue to see throughout the rest of this letter is this call that there is a change that's going to be in you and that's going to be in me because of that identity, that of who we are in Christ. So because of your faith in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, there should be and there will be a change in your life. And what's interesting today is when we're looking at this, he actually takes it to a whole nother level, because what he's saying here in these verses is that what he's specifically talking about is the word of God in your life, right? You're going to see it even next week. It's the word of truth. It's the implanted word. It's the perfect law. What he's referring to is God's word. So in a sense, what he's saying is as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian, the word of God should just be something that you delight in, that you want to live under. That's what he's saying. We read this last week as we ended the service, but Psalms 1 says this: blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits at the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's what James is saying. So because of what Christ has done and who you are in Christ, do you delight in his word? Do you love living under his word? Now, this is interesting, because what he's saying here when he's talking about the first fruits is back in the day when you gave your offering, or you gave what you were giving to the Lord, you gave it to him first. So it came off the top. So before you put anything away, before you dug in and ate, or before you made money off the crop, the very first goes to God. So in a sense, is what he's reminding them of is that because of who they are in Christ, that you have surrendered yourself to the word of God. You're basically removing yourself and you're putting him in the center. That's what he's saying. Now, This is crazy countercultural for where we're at now. It really is. Because from the very beginning, the first breath you breathe in this country, the push is, it's about you. You're at the center, right? It's about, nobody can tell you how to live. Nobody can tell you what to do. And that's not what he's saying here. So here's the interesting thing. And this is, we see this, we're seeing this more and more. But Trey just read it. There are the Proverbs and even James. This is all considered wisdom literature, right? This is literature to for you to gain wisdom to live in a broken world and broken relationships with broken people. But what he's saying in this proverb, and in Proverbs, it's a collection of wisdom that's being written, almost like it almost looks like a letter that would be written from a father to a son, explaining. These are things that you're going to go through in life. And so what he's saying here is simply this. There are two paths. They're the wise and then the foolish. The wise are going to be hearers of the word, and they're going to do it. The foolish are going to hear the word, and they're going to disregard it. What is wisdom? Wisdom is found in knowing that God knows best, and you surrender your authority to it. That's what he's saying. So you have these two paths, but you also have these two voices, right? Terry talked about it a little bit last week, but they're just two voices that you're going to hear. They're the godly, right? So that's prayer, that's time in the word, that's Christian community, those people speaking into your life. And then there's the worldly. That's it. Now here's the dangerous side of that, because this falls in the worldly. People that profess to be Christians that give you counsel that is not of the wisdom of God. Right? We hear it all the time. And here's what we tend to do. I heard a pastor say this week. He says, your ear is linked by inseparable design to your feet by way of your heart. Your ear is linked by design, inseparable to your feet by way of your heart. So basically what he's saying and what James is actually saying, it's actually a warning. He's saying, who has your ear? Because who has your ear will and always will shape your actions. It does. Now, here's the challenge. I really think it's the challenge because we're talking about faith. But think about this. Do you really believe, because this is going to be the question, do you really believe that God has your good in mind? Do you believe it? I remember as a fifth grader, so if you're a PK in here, you know this, but especially a PK growing up in a Southern Baptist church, I don't know that there was a day of the week except for Friday that we weren't at church for something. And I remember as a fifth grader, I wanted to play football. And tackle football started in the fifth grade. But there was a problem, because the problem was that tackle football was on Wednesday nights. And Wednesday night was prayer meeting. So I remember trying to butter my parents up, telling them about, you know, I've got this, so excited about it. And then the question came, well, when is it? It's Wednesday night. And no. And I remember thinking as a kid that God was this, almost in these moments, thinking that this God was this cosmic killjoy, right? There we go again. I got to put, it's all for Jesus, right? But here's the danger here. Like, it really is. And this is what we've started doing, Christians. And this is what he's warning them with, is the thing we start to do is we start to pick and choose in Scripture what we want, right? We like this, like I like this, but I don't know about this. Like, this is helpful, Lord, but I don't even know what you're even thinking here. So we do. And this infiltrates the church. So ultimately what's happening in these moments is we start listening to the other voice. I don't want you to think about this, because I was thinking about this week, because it's all of it is, it's coming through a cultural filter, right? So your culture actually filters a lot of the which you think, and it can become dangerous. So if you think about it, if you went back in time where there was, let's say family was most important, right? So it's how you lived. It was solidarity to the family. So it was where you got your honor from. All of this was the culture that you came out of. And you start reading the Word of God, and the Word of God says, listen, there is no sex out of marriage between a man and a woman. You would look at that and say, hey, no, that's right. That makes sense. But if somebody comes into that village and destroys your family and all you have left is yourself, and then you read the Bible and it says you're supposed to forgive your enemy, that's going to be shocking to you. Why? Because you're looking at it through a cultural lens. Fast forward to today, now we look and we like, most of the church was like, oh yeah, I'm all about forgiveness. Yes, we got to forgive and we got to love each other. But then when we look at sex, outside of the lens of it's got to be between a man and a woman in marriage, and we're like, well, that's old, right? Like that truly doesn't fit today. That's the danger, right? What he's saying here is, and if you look down in 25, we'll be there next week, but look what he says here. Look what he calls the Word of God. He calls it the perfect law. And it's interesting because if you have your Bible, the whole thing's not the law. There's stories, there's poetry, there's history. All of that's in the Bible. But what James is saying and what Jesus says in the Gospels, it's all normative for life. It's for all of life. You don't get to pick and choose what you want. Why? Because God is all wisdom. What voice are you listening to? I was thinking the other day, I was driving not too long ago, my dad's old truck, and I was driving it and the light came on. This light came on, and you guys know me. I'm not a handy guy, and so the light came on. And so all I knew what to do is I didn't. You know, there are different lights on different cars. I didn't know what this particular light meant. So I pulled out the owner's manual and I started looking through the manual, and there was something going on with the oil. So the oil, something was bad. And so you take it and you get the oil changed. But I was thinking about it. You know, when that happens to your vehicle, do you just look at that light and say, well, first of all, I don't have the money to change the oil. I don't have the time to change the oil, so I'm not going to change the oil. No, that's foolish. That doesn't make any sense. You've invested in a car, and if you want the thing to last, then what do? You do what the manual says. You see, this is what the Bible should be like in our lives. If we look at it as the wisdom of God, you don't get to pick and choose what you like and what you don't like. Right? He's letting you know that this is what this life looks like if you're a follower of Jesus. And then look what he says next. Knowing this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Whoa. So one minute we're talking about the Word of God, and now all of a sudden we're talking about a relationship. Why? Because this will always organically flow out of this. My relationship with God is always going to affect my relationship with people I do life with. So what does he say? He says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. Now, are you a good listener? I'm not. I am a terrible listener. I've gotten better through the years, but I'm so ADD. I'm all over the place. But what I've learned in life is it has to be intentional. And so what he's saying here is the tendency is when you become in the midst of trials, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of what's going on, there's going to be quarrels amongst you. Like it's going to happen. So here's some advice. Here's some advice as you think about what voices you're listening to. When that happens, listen. First, listen. I was thinking about like with kids, what it would look like. And when you say listen, there's different things. That doesn't mean just stand there and wait your turn. It actually means to try to understand, right? Ask questions. Kids, if you want to blow your parents away this week or whenever you have your next quarrel, look at your dad and say, hey, dad, listen, I think I'm having a little trouble understanding what you're saying. Like, could you interpret that? I want to understand it. I want to see what you're seeing. I just don't quite understand. Could you explain that to me again? It'll blow their mind away. Like, it really will. And what you'll see is that the chances of that leading to a fight or even a bigger anger, it decreases. And that's what he's saying here. Even with your spouses. Like, I have the tendency with my boys, they don't have to say, there's only one of them in here, so that's good. But the tendency is in the midst of stuff for me, because I'm wiser, because I'm older, I've got more life experience, their brains aren't even developed yet, for me to just dump all this on them at one time and not even listen to what they're saying. And what's interesting with that is that what that actually does is it makes them go in the opposite direction, right? You can actually write yourself out of a relationship. Sarah, we were talking a couple weeks back about things we fear. We hate snakes. But the thing she hates, like if I told her she had to come up here right now and close the rest of the service, she would pass out right there. And she wouldn't do it. But what we were talking about is I am definitely have married way past myself. She's definitely prettier and she's a lot smarter than me. But she was a valedictorian of her class, and one of the things she had to do, of course, is give the speech. And they had a pretty big high school. So she had to give a speech, and they told her what to do the speech on it. And it was the book, Seven Habits of Success, whatever you've read the book. It's by Stephen Cooley or something like that. But I was looking at the book, and there's seven habits. And the fifth habit, which he actually refers to James, he's Mormon, but he refers to the letter of James, says, first and foremost, understand, then be understood. First and foremost, understand, then be understood. You know what he's saying? He's saying, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen, because you don't know. Everybody has a filter. Everybody's coming from a different culture. Everybody's coming from a different experience. So if you don't take time to listen to where they're coming from, all you're immediately going to do is you're going to wait and say, okay, now it's my turn, and this is what I believe. And he's saying all that's going to do is that's going to mess up the relationship. It's going to infiltrate through the relationship. Listen. And then look what he says. Slow to anger. You know what that means? If you do these things, what you're going to see is that you're going to be much slower to get mad, to get angry. You get angry? Everybody gets angry, right? Or frustrated. That sounds better, right? I get frustrated. Do you know what anger is? Anger is not getting what you want. That's what it is. It's a reaction to not getting what you want. It's a reaction for you not seeing what I see, not taking what I take. Now, let me tell you, if you don't know this, you should know this. Everything that everybody does makes sense to them in the moment. Everything that everybody says makes sense to them in the moment. Everything that everybody believes makes sense to them in the moment. So if you have this lens and you're walking into to a fight with your spouse, with your kids, with your employees, understand that's where they're coming from. That's the filter they're coming from. So if you want to decrease the anger, listen, be slow to speak. Now, you could stop right there and be like, okay, that's good. A little bit of Jesus. We got to get a little bit of Jesus. I can apply that to my life. But he doesn't stop there, does he? Because what does he say? For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It's interesting because the word righteousness really means the same as rightness. Right? And this is what we do, right? This is what we do in the midst of wanting to be heard, wanting people. And let me tell you something. This could not be more convenient of a message than right where we're at right now in this time and place, right? We all want to be heard. I want you to know that I'm right. And what James is saying here is simply this. There's three agendas. We got three agendas here. It's your agenda. It's the one that you're in argument with. And then it's me. That's it. So you're either going to go after your agenda, they're going to go after their agenda, or you as Christians need to see that this is not even about you. And if you're not careful, you'll write yourself right out of a relationship. I tell you what, I've done a lot of counseling through the years. A couple months back, I was talking to a guy that had been having some marital problems, and they had been in a big fight, and I'd been giving him godly wisdom. He came in, I said, how did it go? He said, I was right. I was right. I won that fight. And I said, well, how's Maggie? I don't know. She left. You were so right that you righted her right out of the relationship. Listen, this is what he's saying here. Listen, Jesus did not come to be right. Because if he came to be right, it would have taken, what, no time. There would have been no need for the cross. No, Jesus came to make us right before God and with each other. Reconciliation. So what Jesus is saying, what James is saying here is simply this. The idea is that you would be right with each other. Not that you win the fight. Because at the end of the day, what do you get with that? Nothing. A broken relationship? Kids that are mad at you? And then he gives us instruction. How do we do this? Well, listen, here's how you do it. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. In the King James, he actually uses the word moral filthiness, which is translated to self-righteousness. So you know what he's saying? He said, this is how you do it. You gotta take that off. That's the word it's using. You gotta remove the coat. You gotta take it off of you. You gotta remember who it's about. You gotta remember that everybody has a story. Everybody's coming from a different place. And it's ultimately not about you and you being right. You gotta remove it. And the word here that is used for rampant wickedness is the word malice. Why don't you think about it? You watch the news tonight. How many things are going on around us right now that are out of control because of words? It's nuts, right? It's crazy. But that's the warning. Listen, if you don't take it off, if you don't remove that, if you're not quick to listen, slow to speak, then ultimately this is what's going to take place. Wake up, Christian, is what he's saying. Because, I mean, it doesn't take long. You watch the news to see how many domestic fights lead to abusiveness and to death and to, you know, some of that's just from words. I have been praying over the last several weeks, just burdened, I guess. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read this, because this is what I've been praying for y'all. But we're 3 weeks out from an election, right? Churches are fighting in the midst amongst themselves, from everything to mass to no mass to left to right to this and that. But this is what I've been praying for you. Lord, Lord, with our people, remind them to pray. Remind them to think. Remind them to talk to actual people. Remind them to resist social media opinions. Soak up the scriptures. Listen to the Spirit. Consider your neighbor. Honor your God. cast your vote, rest in his promise, love people relentlessly, speak the truth in love, enjoy him, and seek his glory, live as only truly free. That's what I've been praying for you. See, the tendency in you and me, we're sinners, right? And the tendency is I want to be heard. I want to be understood. I want you to believe what I believe. But the hard fact is that we're in relationship with other sinners, with other people that are struggling, other people coming from different experiences, different cultures. If we do what I just said, church, that's how we change all of this. Quick to listen, slow to speak. I think maybe it was Graham. This shows me that he actually was listening. He said, Dad, you always, you go through your message, and by the end of the message, you always just come back to Jesus every time. It's like a magic trick. And I was thinking, you know, he's calling us to do this. In God's image, we're made in his image, where we are, our identity's in Christ. But do you ever think of Jesus? Like, just think of the story. Like, who did this? Jesus. Like, for 30 years. We pick up at age 30, but for 30 years, he was quiet. He came as a speechless baby. He didn't come as this teacher or this preacher. He came as a baby. And for 30 years, he said nothing. He watched. He listened. He looked at Rome as they came in and just were wiping out his people. He understood them. He listened to them. And then he spoke. And you know why they flocked to him? Because they knew that he understood them. Try it. I dare you. In the next several weeks, you're going to have opportunity after opportunity to speak the gospel into people's lives. I challenge you, but listen. Listen to their experiences. Listen to where they're coming from. Give them Jesus. Pray for them. You pray for these men and women right now that are running our country, that are running. You need to be on your knees praying for them. But this is an opportunity, church, for us to say, listen, what voices am I listening to? Is it godly counsel? Or is it social media? Is it the news? Is it people that are not giving me godly wisdom that are speaking into my life? Or am I living under this? That's the question. I'm going to ask Brandon to come on up. And I'm going to ask you just right where you're at. I want to pray over us. I'm going to sing one more song. Lord, we love you because you loved us first. We want to be a people of wisdom. We want to see life through your lens, through eternity. But if we're honest, there's so many different noises. There's so many different things that infiltrate in the midst of our weeks, our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray that you would help us to recognize the voices that we're listening to. Lord, that we would be a people that lives under your word. And that it would affect our actions and the way we live. Lord, guide us. Lord, and in those relationships that you've sovereignly placed us, the places that you've put us, that we'd live it out. Man, our mouths, our tongues are a dangerous, dangerous thing. Lord, let us listen. But give us opportunity to be bold at the same time. Speaking truth, but truth in love. Lord, I do pray for our country. I pray for our leaders. I pray for the chaos that's all around us. But what I pray is that your people, us, would be humbled. And we would set our eyes on you. We would set our ears on you and you alone. We ask this in your precious holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.